Good morning and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 31st of January. It's the end of January. We got there at last. Hurrah! Blimey. Has it been fast or slow for you, Linda?
1/12 of 2020 gone.
That's what I love, the pessimistic.
It's gone very fast, actually, and I've just sat here and thought, I now have to do my accounts on Monday. Month's end, everybody.
Yay! As you can hear, my guests in the studio today are the wonderful Linda Garcia of Aluxi Consulting.
Thank you, Amanda.
And she's brought with her today, let me get the card so I say it right, Deb. Deb Sen from Ministry for Growth.
That's me.
Thank you for joining us. Good luck.
Thank you.
We have to give our apologies and send our best wishes to our co-host, would have been Richard Bell. Bless him, he's poorly. So he's staying in bed today. We told him to keep his germs at home. We don't want that coronavirus anyway. I'm not sure if we're allowed to joke about that yet, are we? But yes, no, we wish you well. Sorry, Richard. So our security expert's not here today, but we've got lots to talk about, lots to cover. We do want to hear from you, the listener, as always. So do give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the hashtag BeExtra, BeBunker. Let us know how your week's been, how your month's been. It is the end of January, officially. It's like 5 weeks into 2020 already. And of course, today is officially, we're going to mention it just once on the show, Brexit. It's here. It's happening. Now we can all get on with our lives.
I thought you were going to say it was National Croissant Day. Which it is also.
Is it? Yeah. Good timing that, then.
Dragon Co-working is saying it's also National Hot Chocolate Day, or was that yesterday? Mm. So we should be having hot chocolate and croissant and a glass of champagne. Or commiserating, depending on whether you're a leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a
champagne or not, you can commiserate or celebrate. But it is happening. So yay, we can get on with our lives now. Thank goodness for that. We've got lots going on in the show today, but we do always want to hear from you if you've got events coming up. So it's 2020, it's a busy year, there's lots going on. But if you've got an event coming up and you want to share it with us, do give us an email. Email us bunkerextra@gmail.com. And also, if you'd like to come on the show, we've got a few guest spots in March and April, so give us an email and we can fit you in if you'd like to come and tell everybody about yourselves, your business, and if you've got an event coming up. So do come and share. We do like an event here, talking about the events and everything, and later on in the show we're going to speak to Linda and Deb about their event coming up, but we've got lots to talk about. I have had some tweets coming through this morning. We've had one from I've lost them all now. Jobs in Kent have tweeted this morning and said, "Hey, Bunker Extra, Be Bunker. Shout out, please. We've launched our new simple CV. You can use it if you haven't got a full CV yet or with your main CV. It's free and easy to use. You can set up and start using a simple CV in minutes." It's basically, it just sorts out your CV for you, makes it more appealing to prospective employers. And it's worth doing. It's free. And so if you're looking for a new job and everything, try it out. So if you go to jobsinkent.com/simple CV, check that out. Thank you for the tweet. We've also had another one from Fruitworks Co-working, who their event space is open for hire by the hour or by the half day. From February, and they've also had a refurb down the bottom with the coffee shop and everything. So lots of nice stuff going on there at Fruitworks co-working in Canterbury, that is. We have had, it's a bit quiet out there in the Twitter world this morning. We've had one from Simon Webster, who does the Money Talk Shower, which is on after us from 1 till 2. And yes, obviously he's going to be talking all about the ramifications of Brexit, because he does like getting deep with things like that. So if you are interested in, you know, how it possibly is going to affect you as a business, then it's worth listening to Simon's show from 1 to 2 on the same station. But do keep those tweets coming in. Let us know how your month's been, you know, what you've been up to, what have you been achieving this month. So have you achieved a lot this month, Linda?
The last 2 weeks have certainly been a lot more productive than the first 2 weeks, but getting geared up again after Christmas and New Year, I've always found a struggle. So yes, I've had some very enlightening sessions with some clients. I'm working with a care company at the moment who are actively recruiting. So get out on Twitter and have a look at the care jobs that are available out there. And yeah, I'm having it's gradually gearing up.
It's getting there. Yeah. So February is like, whee, here we go.
Yeah.
I think it always takes, well, I would say it takes me a while to get going again. sort of beginning of January.
Yeah. Well, February is actually going to be a little bit slower because I'm celebrating with my husband our 25th wedding anniversary. So that's a week off straight away.
So basically, you're just taking half the year off this year. Getting a bit slower this year.
I'm quite looking forward to that. It's a major milestone in life, isn't it?
Definitely.
Business will be taking a little bit of a back seat for 1 week.
Where are you going?
Venice.
Nice. For a whole week?
Well, I've heard conflicting news, actually. Some people are saying, oh, it's really dry. All the canals have dried up. Oh. And others are saying, oh, that's really flooded. All the hotel reception areas get flooded. So I'm really intrigued to find out what the actual situation is.
Yes. I can't imagine it would
be. There's also the mainland that we can visit. But I've never been before. So, yep, always like to see pastures new.
It is. It's lovely. It's been a very long time since I was there. I've always said I'd like to, I only went for one day, I'd like to go and stay over and see all the nightlife that happens around Venice because it is so beautiful there.
I'll send you a day-by-day account of what happens on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. Yeah.
Put it all out there and let me know when what's going on.
But yeah, from a Luxeye's point of view, we are going to be celebrating our fifth anniversary this year. I know.
Yes.
You were celebrating last year, weren't you?
No, I'm month five this year. Yeah. Last year was launching the new name and brand.
That's right.
But this year, we're all the same, isn't we? Me, you, and Gemma is also Orchard Employment Law.
There's quite a few people on the networking circuit that we've been going with. So this is, it's marking quite a milestone for a Luxeye Consulting. So watch this space for the invitations if you've been involved with the Luxeye Consulting for the invites.
So we're not going for that corporate dinner on the walkways of Tatbridge?
No, I actually couldn't look down all night at that event. Yeah, that is a fascinating venue. Looking down at 200 metres above the, or not quite that high, is it?
But
above the
River Thames,
with cars going beneath you and the river flowing underneath while you're sitting eating dinner, I found that a little bit dizzy heights sort of syndrome.
We did,
but we will find somewhere equally impressive.
Yes,
I hope.
Yes, there will be. Must be 3 years ago now.
2017, two,
three. We're 2020 now. Tower Bridge. Yeah. Well, two and a half. I helped a client organise a corporate anniversary dinner on the walkways of Tower Bridge, and Linda was one of the guests, but it was an awesome venue. And they do have the glass floor, so as you're walking along, you can look down. Yeah. And it was quite funny just to see whether people would actually walk over it or not. Apparently it could take the weight of two elephants. Wow. It was that strong.
I'm sure the sum of us must have easily outweighed two elephants.
Yeah, a couple of ton there going.
But the view out of the glass windows, instead of looking down, just keep your eyes on the horizon, was spectacular. I mean, the night, the scene at night along the River Thames with all of these sort of major beautiful buildings lit up and the Shard in the background. Yeah, it's an impressive place.
It was impressive. But that was 25 years, so maybe when we get to 25, we can
go
there. Definitely. I lost track of where I was going to say now, because I'm on the walk to Tower Bridge again. It was a lovely event. So Luxeye's 5 years. You've been going for 5 years now. So that's quite interesting. But that's what they say, isn't it? Once you make you hit that 5 year mark, then
you've made it.
Yeah, theoretically, I should now be making millions.
Well, I don't know whether you're making millions, but certainly a little bit more secure in the fact that it's a business that's going to work rather than fold. So many businesses fold before that, isn't it?
Starting to. Show that the footwork that you have to put in as a business owner in the initial years, getting out there, networking. I mean, I don't think there's many people in the business world in Kent who haven't at least heard of me, if not seen me, and probably chatted to me in the various 3 times a day, 5 days a week networking events that I used to attend in the early years. But it does pay off. And one of the things that I've noticed and talked about is that now my actual availability to go out networking has decreased significantly. Yes, you change also, I think, the focus of the networking events that you go to, because you gradually start to understand which events are going to get you in front of your ideal, your target market. All of that footwork and going out, meeting people, getting to know people, building the relationships has now translated into more referrals coming through from my networking associates, which... You know, so it does pay off, and I would strongly urge anybody out there who is in their very sort of startup or early years stages to just keep getting out there, plodding away, getting into the right sort of events, the right arenas where you think your target market will be available. If this is more if you're a B2B client or a B2B company, And it will eventually pay off in the longer term, but you have to build those relationships. Yeah. It's not just about going out there and pitching and selling yourself. It's getting to know what other people do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've actually started putting together the list of the number of people who have got a Luxeye Consulting to where it is today. And it's not just me and my husband, director, and Amanda Flanders doing the events with me. It's quite astounding how many different people have been involved in helping me build a business, looking at the financials, the software requirements, the, well, marketing.
Yeah.
Getting a brand, identifying who your market is, working with copywriters. You know, the team that the business, in air commas, actually consists of is enormous. So, yeah, you have to get out there and know what you have to do to get your business up and running.
But that is one of the things, isn't it? A lot of younger startups and smaller businesses, you do get a lot of people that they think that they're going to achieve a lot in the first couple of months of networking. And what they don't understand is it's about the long game at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Networking isn't about instantly going out there and finding clients. It's about making those connections. Mm. We had actually quite a good conversation last week on the show. Gemma was co-hosting, and our guest, he was quite new to the networking scene, so it was quite nice from both ends of the scales, because Gemma, like you, was, you know, a serial networker, as we like to call you. I call myself an experienced networker, but I wasn't out quite as much as you and Gemma, and he was quite new to it. So I was explaining you do need to go out and do as much as you can to begin with, one, to meet as many different people, but also to find out which networking events and groups work best for you, because they're not all suitable for everybody. And it is about the long term. I mean, I'm the same as you. I've got to the point now where I don't go out a huge amount networking, but people that I have met over the years networking still refer me or refer to me. And then my friends that are serial networkers then just refer people to me anyway. Like, I got an email a couple of days ago from Linda, who was connecting me with a guy called Paul, who does headphones for events and corporate events and parties and stuff. And we're having conversations about him actually being part of the next event. And that's it. You know, people you know that you, I think you get this immediate instinct that when you meet somebody and you find they're in a similar industry to somebody else you know, you just want to connect to them straight away. Like, you need to speak to this person. I know who to connect you with. So it's about connecting people that can help each other out as well. And the other thing we were saying about networking is it was also the amount of information you can learn about building and growing a business.
Yeah.
When you're out networking, you know, choose the networking event you're going to for the speakers and what they're talking about. Mm. I think a lot of us have built the first few years of our business, the marketing, the social media, the accounting, systems and processes,
spreadsheets. Amanda's rolling her eyes.
Oh, God. No, I do actually love spreadsheets, but I don't quite get them as much as Linda does.
I hate them, but they're a necessary
evil. They're a necessary evil. But all of that type of stuff. There's people out there that are going to help you, and either relatively cheaply or free very often if you're at networking, which it's invaluable. So as Linda says,
I find people actually remember you more for what you've done for them rather than how you've tried to pitch to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that particular example that you've just mentioned, the gentleman, I found out what he actually does, and I immediately thought of two or three people that his services could benefit, you being one of them.
Yeah.
But there was a number of other things that I said to him. I could introduce him to X and Y and Z. And I think he actually came away feeling quite shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, you've been really helpful. Thank you very much. Mm. Well, yeah, that's what networking is all about.
Because I did say to him, I said, oh, how did you meet Linda? And he said, oh, we was networking. And he said, oh, I'll connect you. And obviously fired off a couple of emails and off we go. We're all connected.
Well, let's give it a shout out. It was actually at the Kent Digital Meetup. It was, known.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the Kent Digital Meetup keeps me young. It's full of young, vibrant, all a bit geeky techies, developers, social media marketers. And they are on the cutting edge of what's going on in technology. And I go along to that just to keep my finger on the pulse. And it makes me feel 20 years younger because they're all sort of millennials.
I was going to say, it doesn't make you feel older, but being the oldest person in the room.
Not at all, no. I actually took my daughter along one evening because she's never been exposed to the business environment in that respect. And she was watching one of the talks. Kenny Cox from Snapwire was presenting a whole overview of what the blockchain is. Obviously, currently it relates to the cryptocurrency environment. But he was demonstrating how the blockchain softwares is gradually being brought into play in a lot of database environments. I had some quite controversial questions, but for, you know, somebody who's not in the world of business, it's actually quite interesting. It wasn't too technical. You know, Kenny explained it in such a way that even us lay people could understand it. Mm. So it's amazing what you can go out and learn from some of these events. And there was free pizza, wine and beer.
Perfect.
Never complained about.
As long as I had the wine, because very often they just have the beer and it's just not good enough. Yeah. You have to have the wine for us ladies too. Yeah. No, it is valuable. And that, and actually, this leads us into nicely for me to talking about an event that I created a couple of years ago now, actually, the Networkers Networking event. Because very often what happens with networking is people don't quite understand. They know it's something that they should do for their business, but they don't quite understand how they can do it correctly, or, you know, or how to be most effective and efficient with their networking. So a couple of years ago, I created the Networkers Networking event, which is a full day event, but it is literally all about networking. So we have speakers talking about different aspects of business, but then obviously how that can relate to networking. So, for example, marketing and how actually networking can be a part of your marketing strategy. And then we have obviously a lot of networking goes on, networking activities, etc. And we ran those for a couple of years. We had it last year off, but this year we're back. We've relaunched the Networkers Networking event. The first one is going to be on the 18th of March at Eastwell Manor, just down the road for you, Linda. And this year we're mixing up a little bit. We've still got speakers. So we've got two amazing speakers, which are going to be Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant, and Mike Hacker, aka Hacks, both of them covering different aspects of marketing and networking and how you can obviously be more effective with your time to make help you build and grow your business. We've also got a team building company called Escape On Site, who are kind of, you're going to love this, Linda. They're coming along and they've got, it's almost like an escape room, but in a bag. And you have, there'll be a session where you'll be teamed up and you have to solve puzzles and clues to unlock the bag in time before a toxic gas is released into the room.
Nice.
Oh, yes. So obviously team building is another great way of actually connecting and networking with each other. And, you know, sometimes when you're networking, you don't even know, you're not sure what conversations to have, which can be quite difficult. So we're going to have you working out how to stop the toxic gas being released. And then there will be going to be round tables. One thing we found over the last time we run them, people like to discuss different business matters. So we had a couple of different round tables running so people could basically discuss amongst their peers something that's going on and the issues and how to deal with it. So it's a full on day, but there's lots going on, lots of content. The main purpose of the Networkers Networking event is basically just to find out how to network more effectively and efficiently. Be, you know, with everything you do in your business, your time is the most valuable asset you've got. So make sure you utilise that time.
Can I add something to that?
You may.
I was actually at a one-page business plan event or workshop with Barnaby Winter actually on a couple of Fridays back. And being a numbers person and a believer in if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, I've always used a little app on my phone called Hours Tracker. And ever since day one, I have clicked in, clicked out for every activity that I've done in networking, marketing, email, accounting, bookkeeping, and monitored over the years how many hours I've actually spent networking, where my leads have come from. And this, yeah, Deb will totally appreciate this because he's on the, you know, business growth side of things, building up your client base. And what I gathered and started to understand was the I started to analyse where my leads were coming from which events, and started to hold back from the events that weren't being particularly productive and generating leads or the right sort of relationships for me, and started to focus on different arenas. And what I noticed over the first 2 to 3 years was my actual networking hours decreased by 50%, but my leads increased by not quite 50%, but 10 or 15%, 20%. And so taking a note of what clients are coming out from which arenas or which people are tending to be your best referrers, and monitoring that and referring back to it and tweaking your behaviour and your event going to really focus on those arenas that are working for you can be extremely productive.
Yeah,
and when, like in your first year, when you've sort of looked down and realised you've spent 300 hours networking, that is a lot of your time. And if you start to value how much your time is worth, that has to be seen as a cost to your business.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, it was an interesting journey.
And I'm not surprised whatsoever that you actually processed that and analysed it. And
no.
Anyone would think you were a systems and processes.
Get hours tracker, everybody. Hours tracker. You just tap in and tap out.
Yeah, she did get me onto hours tracker, I must admit. And it is a very useful tool because, as I say, time is your most valuable asset, isn't it? And if you don't know how much time, and especially if you're, I mean, like me, I provide a service. So I need to know how many hours I'm actually spending providing that service. And you don't actually realise initially. And then when Linda got me on the tracker and I was like, oh my God, yes, I am not billing for enough hours in the day for what I'm doing. Yeah. So
I've been consulting to two web design companies over the last year or so. And obviously in web development, you are having to assign how many hours you're going to spend with the different specialities. So you need a graphic designer, you need the junior developers, the senior developers for the coding, et cetera, et cetera. And that your quotes are normally going to be based on the number of hours you're expecting each speciality to take. And yet invariably, the companies are not monitoring or getting the actual staff to log how much time they've actually spent.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they're not being as profitable as they hope to be from their, you know, what they're expecting to get per hour that they pay. And again, it's just another arena where we've worked on putting, not necessarily through Hours Tracker on a phone, but logs into their software systems that they're using to manage their staff productivity. And that has started to show rewards that they're actually getting and gaining more margin per project because they're being more, they're controlling more how much time people are spending and making sure that they're not over-delivering on a project that actually didn't need that level of quality or that number of web pages, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a really... Well, obviously, you know that's my bread and butter.
Yeah, I do. But it's like the amount of light bulbs that go off. You just speak to Linda for an hour and you're just like, oh, God, yes. And it's stuff that makes sense to you and you possibly in the back of your mind know, but it's not something you go, God, yeah, that really needs
but
to be in place.
But it does take quite a bit of a cranking up to change your own behaviour and remember, oh, I need to log in.
Yeah.
You do, as you get more and more into it and you start to see the numbers coming through, it makes your mouth water and then you really want to know, oh, my God, I want to see how much time I've spent on my bookkeeping. Mm. It's one thing I've been drastically trying to reduce time. And I'm probably going to get 15 phone calls now from Kent bookkeeper saying, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, let me do your bookkeeping for you.
I don't practice what I preach.
No, I mean, I must admit, I was talking to... a friend with a business the other day, and she was saying that she just got a new system in which now logs hours. Mm. And she just discovered that she has been undercharging hugely with a lot of her retainer clients because she's charging for the hours she thinks she's doing, and actually it turns out she's doing almost twice the amount of hours that she's charging for.
Yep. Objective facts and figures will always make you more money than perception and gut feel.
And at the end of the day, people, that is the main reason and the only reason we're actually all in business is actually to earn money. You know, we can love it, possibly, but we've all got to earn a living out of it. So we've had a tweet from the wonderful Barry from Me Now, and he said, through networking, we designed a completely new product, which is now patented. You will be surprised not only who you meet, but what you will learn. Yeah, so they've been networking. They've got the Me Now app, and they were networking with the Me Now app, and then they were discussing something with somebody else, and they now have a whole new product, which is... I can't wait till we can talk to people about it, because let me just say it's innovative and it's revolutionary. I'm going to tell the guys off air what that is all about, and then they'll know. But I am swore I have to did have to sign a and what was it an NDA. So yes, but anyway, networking is very valuable. So if you fancy coming along to the Networkers Networking event on the 18th of March, if you go to evexio.co.uk, it says E-V-E-X-I-O, evexio.co.uk/whatson, click on the Networkers Networking link and it's got all the details there with all the speakers and everything like that. It's going to be a great day. If you can't come for the full day, it's not a problem. You can book without lunch and just pop in when it suits you. You can pop in for the morning session, pop in for the afternoon session. But if you want to come for the full day, you can book with lunch. We've also got a VIP gold package this year if you want to get a little bit more out of the day. But it's worth it for sure. Right, we're going to have a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to speak more to Deb, because I think Linda and I have dominated the microphones for the minute. So I think it's about time we had a bit more. Seb. I called you Seb. See, I did so well so far. Deb, got it in my head. We're going to find out more about Ministry for Growth and what Deb does. And then about the event you've got coming up, which is going to sound amazing. Now, I have started getting into the habit of trying to copy Paul and do his cheesy tunage, although I try not to choose cheesy tunage, but try to relate it to the guests that are on. Paul, you're going to be very proud of me for this one. See if you can get it, if anyone actually knows what the song is. The trouble is it was supposed to take 2 minutes for the song to start. Do you know what it is yet? Do you know what it is? System Addict. System Addict, you get it?
Business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50 plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking event. It's an event not to be missed.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back, and you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. I'm joined in the studio today. My two guests are the wonderful Linda Garcia from Aluxi Consulting, and she's joined by Deb Sen from Ministry for Growth. And you've got to have loved that bit of linkage there. I'm so proud of myself for linking that cheesy tunage. System Addict.
System Addict.
It is.
Fantastic.
And I never actually knew... that was the name of it, systematic. I thought systematic.
Yeah, it was systematic.
Systematic, yeah, not systematics.
Yeah, I didn't know that until today. So
but
well
there
done.
You go. Either that or they just got the title of the song completely wrong on the system. We'll never find out. So let's let people know what the link is there, because there are maybe just one or two people out there, Linda, who don't know who you are. I know. It's impossible. But just give us a quick, brief overview of Eluxi and what you offer your clients. Can you do it briefly?
Yeah, it's a business consulting company. I'm a productivity specialist, and the process by which I help my clients achieve productivity improvements and therefore increase their profitability is through the design and implementation of a robust management control system combined in parallel with the leadership and management training that the organisation and the people in the business need to actually understand why and how to use the systems that they're given to improve their performance.
There we go. That's Linda's 60-second pitch.
Over to Deb.
So basically, it is about helping businesses to set up their systems and processes just to make them work more efficiently. Yeah. Efficient. So there you go. See.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we describe.
Yeah, absolutely. So Deb, as I say, we have sort of dominated the microphone this morning. So let's hear more from you, the Ministry for Growth, and obviously everything that you do. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for inviting me this morning. It's been fascinating hearing the breadth of conversation already. So my 60 seconds on Ministry for Growth. Well, started the company in 2013, and we specialise on sales performance and sales pipelines.
Yeah.
Okay. So companies that want to double their sales, for example, often need some new ideas, some fresh ideas, and that's what we do.
Mm.
And we do that mainly, firstly, by looking at historical performance, so it's evidence-based, okay? And then looking at, then from that, identifying where the best profitable sales opportunities are.
Right, okay.
So, our instinct is to try and help companies who want to double the value of their business for whatever reason, okay? That's what motivates us.
It motivates you.
Yeah.
And how did you get into doing this?
Well, okay, so I left...
Tell us a little bit more about the person behind the business. We always like that.
Right. Okay, so I left BT, having worked there for 7 years, in 1992.
Right.
Fed up with the politics. Oops, am I allowed to say that?
You used the P word on the radio. Oh, no.
I won't be invited back. And I had the urge to set up my own business. So I set up a marketing agency with a creative director. And we ran that business for 9 years, grew it to over $1 million turnover, then exited from that. And I set up an outbound call center, because my ethos is all about business development and lead generation.
Right.
And outbound campaigns were absolutely awful at that time.
Mm.
Okay. So I did that very effectively for about 4 years. I ran about 60 campaigns, generated lots of leads and business for my clients, etc. And then I became the vice chairman of the Federation of Small Businesses in Kent and Medway.
Yep.
And I worked with the chairman and set up a company with him. And we helped a lot of small businesses with business support. And there was, as you may recall, there was lots of funding available from councils and an organisation called CEDA and people like that. So we ran a lot of workshops and we helped those businesses to be better and grow their businesses, so business support. And in 2013, set up Ministry for Growth. And my motivation for setting up Ministry for Growth was actually to try and practice some of the things that we preach in terms of developing a business that is scalable with a view to selling it in the future.
Yeah.
One of the things I found when I was with the FSB is that I used to come across business owners who are members, and they say, yeah, I'm going to sell my business next year. I've got it. So you ask them, well, what is your business worth? And didn't have a clue. And the business often was just them. And therefore, it would be very, very difficult to actually sell and get a realistic value for it. So that got me thinking about business value and how to maximize business value. And that's what really drives Ministry for Growth.
I guess do you find then there's a lot of, I mean, obviously there's a lot of people starting up businesses, especially these days as well. It seems, you know, there's a lot of people realising they can go out and do it by themselves.
Yeah.
But as you say, then they don't actually understand what it is they're doing with that. I guess a lot of small businesses are up from people that have a skill.
Yeah.
And then they think, okay, well, from this skill, I can make a business. So they are marketing experts. They've come from marketing. But then a lot of people, when they're running a business, they don't actually necessarily think of the exit strategy, because that's another term that obviously you hear as you go along, and you're thinking, oh God, I haven't got an exit strategy. What's an exit strategy and things like that? So is that something you find very commonly? A lot of startups have no idea what the actual final end goal is, whether it's to build a business to then get it to a position where you can sell it on.
And I think you're absolutely spot on, Amanda, right? I mean, okay, so if you're a someone in your 20s and you just set up your business, then you might feel, well, why do I need to think about the end game? Right?
Yeah.
I've got many years ahead of me, right? But regardless of your age and regardless of when you set up your business, one of the key things that is always in my mind is one of the business gurus said, always start with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is what we're talking about. You know, what is, why are you in business? Okay, and for many, it could be a lifestyle thing. So you don't have to particularly worry about an exit, right? Until you come gets nearer the time. But for others, like for myself, I'm now on my sixth business, and with Ministry for Growth, it is specifically about an exit, so that with my grey hairs and everything,
not as white as me, mate.
No, you look like you've got years and years left in you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Linda. So it does require a bit of thought and planning, and that's where people like Linda and myself, we can help those sorts of businesses maximise their value, basically.
I mean, is one possible choice that, as you say, some people do just have it as a lifestyle business. Yes. So therefore, when they've had enough, they just stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is acceptable.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, okay? But during your life, you would have earned sufficient surplus, sufficient profits to put away and invest in property or whatever it is, so that you have an income in your retirement.
Yeah.
Okay, so nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
But then that's the thing at the end of the day, isn't it? You need to have money for the entire time that you're alive to pay for pay for living, basically, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So there still needs to be a plan for your retirement, for when you get to the point where you don't want to work anymore. Yeah. There has to be some type of plans. It may not be selling the business. It may just be...
Yeah. And one of the things that you can try and think about and look for is what we call residual income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it may be that during your lifetime in business, you can set up some royalties or some commission arrangements, okay, which will carry on paying you even when you stop working. That is something to bear at the back of the mind.
And I guess for the youngsters that are starting up businesses, it's still something, because they're like, got years before I have to think about that. But you still need to have those thoughts and processes in place for later on down the line. Because, there's no reason why they can't retire at 40, providing, they've got the systems in places and the money in place to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can then... sell your business and reinvest that to do good things for the community, or you can reinvest in another business. Absolutely, Amanda.
Absolutely. So then you guys have met networking by any chance? How did you meet? Now, this is the question I always like to ask. How did you two meet?
It was one of Deb's initiatives, the SCUP, with Peter Searle.
Absolutely, Barnaby, you're right.
Yeah, spot and Deb's done various initiatives over the years.
Yes, so let me explain that a little bit. Okay, what it is that I'm very passionate about helping construction companies in particular.
Right,
okay? And one of the things that construction companies want to do is that they want larger contracts as part of a supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now to do that, they need to be better businesses. So working with a group of other experts, some of them from the construction industry, I put a team together to help construction companies do that. And Linda was my productivity expert in that team.
Yeah.
And there were other Kent-based experts in that team. So that's how we met.
Yeah. But I mean, part of Deb's process now in the you can describe it probably better, is to find experts in specific fields that Deb does not necessarily delve into.
Yeah.
Because, whether you're building the client base and the goodwill of a business or running the finances, there's always the opportunity to introduce experts from other fields to those clients and give them a much more sort of rounded consulting approach from external advisors who the companies won't then need to be paying on a full-time salary for time and memoriam. So, you know, sometimes businesses have a very specific need at a very specific time.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, in the consulting world, I think we have now, well, from what I've seen in Kent, developed a much more collaborative teamworking atmosphere rather than seeing ourselves as competitors. I mean, Debs and I have a very similar focus, but our specialities and our art forms are completely different.
Yeah.
So we can offer, you know, our respective clients other valuable assets from the team that we build up.
So. Uh-oh, Linda mentioned one of my favourite words, collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with Linda there that the business model of the future for SMEs is how much they can collaborate and how good they are at collaborating. And I've done a lot of work in this collaboration area, going back to Kent County Council sponsoring a project, right? And it is most people get it wrong. Okay, and if I could just put one thought out there in terms of good collaboration requires you to be very clear, not only on what you are good at, really good at, but also to be very, very, very clear what you don't do.
Yeah.
And that's the basis for collaboration.
It's setting the expectations at the end of the day, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely.
What you expect from the collaboration, what they expect from the collaboration, because then once that's clear...
Yeah.
And exactly what who's doing what, and then because sometimes collaborations don't work, and that's because you haven't set that expectation to begin with. And
but also, Amanda, if I may say, let's just think about this a little bit, right? We were talking about networking before, and from your experience of networking. One of the things you will have come across, I'm sure, is when you go up to somebody and say, hello, Linda, what do you do? Okay. And then for the next 30 minutes, you get a verbal diarrhea.
Just 30 minutes?
Yeah. I'm this, I'm wonderful, I'm best at this. And you sort of say, well, do you do this? Oh, yes, I do that. Oh, do you do the other? Oh, yes, I do. And you're left away with a feeling, what are they actually good at?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is a fundamental mistake in terms of someone who's looking to collaborate, okay? Whereas Linda is very clear on what she does, okay? So you've heard her say, I'm a productivity expert. What does that mean? It means she doesn't do finance. It means that she doesn't do HR. It means that she doesn't, in detail, do sales and marketing.
Don't do IT.
Don't okay? do that.
Yeah. Whereas, and I'm very clear that what I want to do is just the sales performance aspects of a business. Because if you're not bothered about your sales, you're
in trouble, aren't you?
You're in trouble.
if you don't sell and can't sell, then game over. Even if you're selling your services, you're still selling at the end of the day.
And that leads me on to the other point, which says that as a result of not doing all the other things, what we've done over the past years is build up a panel of experts around us who do finance, okay, who do strategy, for example, okay? And that is how it really works, okay? So we can cross-refer to our panel of experts.
And it's, as you say, a panel of experts that you've built a relationship with, so you're quite happy to refer them or bring them on board because you know that they're going to work in the way that, you know, it's good, basically.
Absolutely, trusted.
It's complementary.
Exactly, very much so. Mm. So then the event that you have now put together...
This will be the second seminar that we're running on this particular topic. The fundamental ethos behind it is that every business owner out there, if what Deb's just touched on, should be looking to make their business deliver their golden nest egg when they want to retire or just decide to change course in their career. So what we've recognised is that many younger business owners, maybe in the startup in early years, or even those who have been in business 5 or 10 years, but might still only be in their sort of mid-30s, early 40s, there are various aspects of their business that they can start planning now to ensure that they maximise the value that their business can return to them when they choose to either sell it on or wind it down. Winding it down wouldn't be the case, but if they want to sell it on, if they're looking for an investor to come in and give them the, you know, the funding to take out of the business, there are certain things that you have to do. And so we are collaborating, myself from the systems and process side of business development. Deb is obviously demonstrating how to build up that goodwill and a client base within the business, which investors often look for to make sure that the business is going to be sustainable in the longer term once the existing business owner has stepped out. And we've also partnered with Tim Levy, who's the current chair of Creston Reeves, which is quite a big accounting firm based in Kent and UK and internationally. But Tim's here in Kent. So the seminar is the Will Your Business Deliver Your Golden Nest Egg? It's joining. It's getting business owners to come and join us for an interactive morning. I start the events with my interactive sort of workshop masterclass on demonstrating why, if you get the right systems in place and you give people the adequate training, you will actually double the performance of your staff and your team. And it also will be the mechanism that creates a turnkey solution so that anybody coming into the business in the future to invest will see a business that functions almost by itself because you've got the systems and processes in place. Deb then takes everybody through quite a soul-searching exercise to find out how are you keeping or finding, retaining and developing your client relationships. And then what Tim will be bringing in at the end is how you need to structure your business from a corporate perspective, shareholder agreements, the tax efficiencies that you can start to be thinking about, you know, even 10 or 15 or 20 years before you're planning on potentially selling your business. I mean, I mentioned to a lot of business owners about the entrepreneur's tax relief, which may or may not exist after the next budget. We'll wait to see. But so Tim's going to be showing the business owners how they can be, what they need to be thinking about right now in the longer term to prepare their businesses from a corporate and tax structure perspective. So that's the, how the morning's going to pan out. We're holding it on April Fool's Day.
You're not.
So you can't forget that day. Yeah, don't let your business make a fool out of you. And it's at the Business Terrace in King Street in Maidstone.
Okay.
And the we're running it from, well, we're opening the doors at 8:30, so everybody can do a bit of networking, have some refreshments, and be running through till about 11 o'clock. But again, people are welcome to hang around and network and speak to the various attendees. So this will be our second seminar. Everybody is welcome to actually register for the event. So we do need to know who's turning up because we are restricted in numbers. You can go to the Eventbrite page and look up BizWealth, BizWealth, BizWealth on the Eventbrite registration pages. We will be marketing this out to our various contacts. Business Terrace will also be putting it out there through their email contacts, and we will be tweeting it and putting it up on our various websites. So watch out for that, and we look forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday, the 1st of April at 8:30 at the Business Terrace.
Is there a charge for the event?
It's a free event.
It's a free... There you go! Can you... The free events are the best.
We only like to add value.
It sounds brilliant, and it sounds perfect, as you say. And is there any particular type of business, as in where they are in their journey, that you're targeting for this, that you'd like to come across long-term?
I think we'd be looking at the business owners who have probably got their sort of first teams in place, 5 to 10 people, and they're recognising that they cannot be the be-all and end-all in the business. But also those entrepreneurs who do recognise that they are creating their business in order to produce their pension pot at the end of it, whether that's you retiring at age 45, age 50 or 68, God forbid, if that's still the retirement age. So yeah, those business owners who are now starting to get to the stage that they're seeing the business is starting to reap a lot of rewards, and they might have that cash that they want to start investing in their future rather than living off it right now and sustaining their existing lifestyle.
Yeah.
That, but that's not to say that any business owner who started up a business might be in their sort of 2-3 to 5 year stage and would benefit from knowing how to get that business working for their future pension.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Anybody basically who knows that they need to set up their business to be able to set up their nest egg, but doesn't know how to go about doing it. There's no, you know, it's hard.
Well,
enough.
Even if you think you know how, we might be able to give you some slightly different angles or, you know, give you a different vision that you may not have thought about yet.
Yeah. And say it's one of those things that when you start a business, you're like, yeah, I start a business, it's going to be great. And then there's so
the reality
much
hits
that you need to learn how to do.
Absolutely.
And everything. So this is another really good area for people to learn more about. And there's probably a lot of people out there who have gone, oh, I haven't even thought about that yet. Yeah. And they've been going a couple of years, and it is something that, definitely.
Because the value of your business is not just what your profits are every year. It's so much more than that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think we've touched on a couple of those things, so we don't want to sort of go too heavy on it. But looking at the systems and how automated your business can be is going to tremendously increase the value of your business. And as Linda mentioned, looking at the quality of your customers and what you're doing with the long-term relationships with customers, those sorts of things are also going to. On the 1st of April, if you want to find out a bit more about how to do that for yourself, then do come along.
It's going to be covered. It's good.
Something that Tim's actually going to be presenting, which many, and even I must admit, I'm not an expert in this by any stretch of the imagination, is how businesses are actually valued at the stage of, you know, investors coming in and deciding and negotiating with you. So it's always good to be a little bit clued up as to what investors are looking for, so that you are in a much better position to negotiate. So that's one of the things that the accounting expertise that's coming into the room will be presenting, is how a business is actually valued.
Yeah. And I guess there's another thing, again, when somebody sets up a business, is being able to get to a point where you can actually step away and the business runs without you. I mean, that's the ultimate thing, is to have the business running without you.
I'm just developing
there.
A whole separate program called the Escape Velocity.
Right.
It's targeted exactly around that, to give the business owner all of the tools that they need to be able to step away from the gravitational pull of the day-to-day of their business.
I like that.
But that's another whole other radio show. We'll leave that
one to
one side.
We'll have to have you back to discuss that one, definitely.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different minefield, isn't it? Because you are the business, you become the business, you're the face of business.
Yes.
But then at some point you need to be able to step away from the business.
Delegate
and get people working for
you. Which, to a certain extent, you know, the business owners will be able to understand how that is possible through this, you know, the seminar on maximising your business value. So it does touch on those points.
Mm. Sounds fantastic. So give us a quick lowdown again. Date, time, and where it is.
April Fool's Day, Wednesday, the 1st of April, 8:30 at the Business Terrace.
In the morning.
And 8:30 to 11. And register on Eventbrite Biz Wealth.
Fantastic. And give us a quick shout out on how people can find out about you guys more. So Aluxi Consultancy.
Yeah, Aluxi Consulting. You can find my website is aluxi.co.uk. That's A-L-L-U-X-I. My email is linda@aluxi.co.uk. Or I'm always on my mobile, or leave a message on 07717-221-368.
Perfect. And Deb?
Brilliant. Okay, so for me, it's ministry4growth.co.uk. Email deb.sen@ministry4growth.co.uk. And phone is 07 91 95 6640.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for being with us today.
See
who needs a co-host. But Richard, we did miss you, honestly. I will be back next week in February. It's first show in February, and I forgot my piece of paper today, so I can't tell you who's co-hosting with me or who the guests are, but I know we've got a great lineup. Oh, you know, I do remember who it is. It's Aaron Priest, who is a part of a printing company, and he's starting a charity. So join us next week, same time, same place. Don't forget to listen to the main Bunker show on Tuesday with Paul. He's got another great lineup of guests. Have a fantastic weekend, and see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Brilliant.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.